Like, how are we doing this? Like, this is a new era for us, right? Like,
It's not just a new
wow.
era. It's also like the first time we are podcasters of a championship team. So, what is the energy of a championship podcast?
What does this mean? Like you and I, actually, we are NBA champions. Like
Well,
you and I, Andrew and David are NBA champions. Like
by
how, what, like how do you act this way now? Like, you know?
the trans
Transitive
transitive. Thank
property,
you.
you know?
I almost said the transformative property, but I knew that wasn't right, so I stopped myself. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, so we gotta hit the ground running here. What kind of energy, what kind of energy are we hitting people with?
I mean, I don't know, what did you feel? Well, it was a strange thing, you know, like when the final buzzer hit and we were champions, it was almost like you expect, it's that big thing, that expectation, that goal that you've been trying to hit, you know, all the hard work that you and I have been doing to get to this point, get to this spot. But it's one of those things, like what it was like in the moment, you're like, you're screaming, you're yelling, but it hasn't really hit you.
Well,
I don't know, like where were you at there?
it was especially true this year because of that weird, 0.9 seconds that played out like three times before they finally let us be champions. But no, I'm not the most high energy guy anyway. And in the moment, I was probably pretty subdued. I think, even relative to the people that I was watching the game with, who were not even necessarily Raptors fans because I'm down here in Jacksonville, I was still pretty subdued. I think, you know, I welled up a little bit. It got dusty in the room. And I was very, very happy. And we popped some champagne and enjoyed the moment. But and then I think I got on the phone with you. Did you call me? I can't remember. It took me a while to figure out. It took me out. Yeah, that's it. Took me a while for me to figure out that you were doing a video call. And when I finally figured that out, I tried to connect, but it was so loud on your end. It was so loud on my end. Couldn't really hear each other. But I'm pretty subdued in general, so I think the idea of starting the podcast with too much energy is going to seem forced. I mean, it's been a couple of days now. I feel like I've been a champion all my life now, and this is it's not a big deal. You know, now the question is, will we repeat?
Hey, that's right. I think that's the right mindset. I think like we gotta approach this with the coolness of champions. You know, as champions, we gotta show, hold the mantle with respect and dignity and show that, you know, we are the coolest of champions there is. So I like that. I like that idea. On my end, when I was watching with a group of friends at a friend's place, and so naturally, you know, we all kind of fed off each other's energy. But definitely, like in my head, it hadn't really quite hit me till I think, like the next day, as I was rewatching all the footage, then I really started to almost like tear up, specifically watching like the different players' reactions. And I think that's where I want to kind of start this discussion about just an appreciation for our team, because that's what this is about. I love this team, you know. Like I know I've loved this team, and I've grown to love this team so much over the course of the year. But really, like I understood how much I loved it. Watching, you know, each and every one of their faces, you know, celebrating, hugging each other after the final buzzer, you know, seeing Fred VanVleet and Pascal caress each other after the
Oh,
game.
they yeah, they got they were intimate.
And like the two of them, obviously they were together in the G League days when they won that G League championship, and to see them here having two huge games, tearing up, obviously to see Kyle Lowry, that's when I genuinely shed a tear. Seeing Kyle Lowry be an NBA championship champion was a phenomenal feeling. I was so happy for him.
Well,
So yeah.
and something that kept coming up once they actually did win, and we finally, I mean, Kawhi hitting those free throws to end the game, it just, everything kind of came together in the moment where it was like, okay, not only have we been building for this for a long time, and guys like Kyle Lowry have dealt with so much slander and bullshit for years about whether or not they were a champion or whether or not they had the capacity to be a champion, that thread came together with this kind of redemption for Kawhi as an individual and as a superstar in this league after he had that whole thing with the Spurs last year. So both those things kind of came together, and it was just like, oh my God, like they did it. This is real. It was so, I definitely got emotional. I'm actually getting a little emotional right now thinking about it. Like,
yeah,
what a moment. And it really sucked the way it got drawn out. But I think both you and I felt throughout this series that like it was just a matter of time, assuming KD was not going to come back and not going to come back healthy. And obviously we did a big episode about our feelings around him and how that was handled. But if he wasn't going to come back healthy, we felt like the Raptors were the better team.
Yeah, hands down the better team. And just watching each of the players after the game and kind of, you know, they throughout the playoffs, they've put on this brave face of being, you know, in the face of adversity, they respond with a calmness and a coolness and, you know, having fun in the moment, you know, kind of preaching this mantra that Kawhi kept on reiterating throughout the playoffs. But to see once the final buzzer hit, especially seeing Kawhi, a guy who's normally stone cold, you know, just kind of plays around with the media with their questions, to really kind of break down a little bit and just show his relief and joy in those interviews that he had after the game, whether it was with the NBA TV crew, whether it was with that awesome interview that him and Kyle did with Rachel Nichols, where they just, the two of them are just so adorable watching that interview, just talking about the journey that they've gone through, the ups and downs of the season. Kawhi talking about how he, although he says that he's not on social media, he 100% heard all the criticism and all the flack that he got from the whole San Antonio situation. And for him to get through this whole redemption arc and end with a trophy was something special to see. It was so special. And I'm in the same boat as you, and that I just couldn't help but getting emotional seeing him and seeing all of our guys. It feels like the entire roster has their own sort of story arc that has culminated to this moment. And it's just so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Kawhi. He went through a lot to get to Toronto in the first place. And then it seems to me like he kind of had this level of confidence all year that they were going to be there at the end, not necessarily holding the trophy. That obviously he had to build towards and come to believe over time, but he certainly had confidence that this roster that he had gone to was like a team that had, you know, they were contenders right from the beginning. And it was really interesting to hear him talk and have that dynamic with Kyle in that interview that you alluded to. He seemed just totally, I don't know, on cloud nine, like totally confident and proud. And I actually wanted to ask you this. In that interview with Rachel and Kyle, he talks, I think it's Kawhi who actually says at one point, like, oh, there was just all this stuff going on behind the scenes that you don't even know about.
Yeah.
Like all this drama. What did you think about that? Because a lot of people quoted that, a lot of like ESPN and The Ringer, they quoted that him saying that, and they speculated, like, I wonder what that was about. But they, you know, Kyle and Kawhi didn't want to talk about it. But when I actually watched that and Kawhi says that and Kyle reacts to it, I feel like they're just doing a bit. Like, I feel like it's a joke that they're both in on. Like, my impression of this team was that it was like smooth sailing all year long in terms of like everyone appreciating that they're all professionals and they're all trying to pull this thing off. And, you know, the questions around Kawhi staying or leaving, which I know we're going to get to at some point in this show, but all that was secondary to like the task at hand. And them saying this, like, that, you know, little do you know, there was all this stuff going on behind closed doors and it just never got out. I felt like that was either just an elaborate bit and a kind of a joke about their own level-headedness throughout the year, or it was maybe even like a playful shot at Golden State because they had won a championship recently. And I think David West came out after the fact and said, like, well, if you guys knew what was going on behind closed doors, like this win would be that much more impressive.
Right.
I didn't know what to make of it, but I definitely didn't think it was like a true thing.
Yeah.
I don't think they were revealing anything there. But what did you think?
Yeah,
about
this
it?
Team doesn't really strike you as a drama filled team for sure, especially if you compare it against Golden State and their whole KD situation all year long. You know, what compared to that team, it seems like our team is just like totally normal team dynamics. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to speculate what exactly he was talking about. I feel like I'm leaning towards your side of the story, where I think maybe there was some drama a little bit around, you know, the load management stuff or Kawhi's future. But clearly that got smoothed over fairly easily. And maybe Kawhi was kind of trolling the media a little bit. And I think that's actually really awesome if he is, And even if there was a little bit of drama, the fact that he's talking about it openly, I think it's super encouraging because it speaks to his appreciation. He said it himself, right? Like, nothing got out, nothing was leaked from the team, and he credited his teammates, and it's also a credit to the whole organization. You know, Masai runs a tight ship, very famously, and so it was pretty awesome to see Kawhi credit that and show his appreciation for it.
Well, okay, so that's Kawhi. I think we can talk a little bit more about him later in the show when we consider this question, this small wrinkle, this one minor outstanding question of whether or not he is going to return. We're going to get into that and get into that a little more in-depthly, but what about Kyle? Like, Kyle Lowry has literally been the guy that every U.S. journalist points to when they kind of roll their eyes at Toronto and dismiss Toronto's championship aspirations. Yeah. He's the guy that they just always feel like is a starting a backup point guard in like a starting point guard's costume or something. Disguise, rather, I guess is the saying. But yeah, Kyle's the guy who gets so much flack and gets dismissed. Yeah, I thought he was one of our best players throughout the playoffs, and he has been that before. In fact, it's just something that's gotten lost in the narratives about him.
Yeah,
but it was huge to see him break through. And just like you said, like, you see Kawhi let out that emotion whenever he's sort of at half court there with his arms outstretched. Kyle, in particular, has allowed himself to really celebrate both winning the conference, been winning the Eastern Conference against Milwaukee, and then now winning this title. And God, we watched the parade. We're recording this the day after the parade, so we had the benefit of seeing him out there in the streets with the people, and like, it seemed like he was the fan favorite in that parade. And was just living his best life and just enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah.
How about Kyle?
I think for me, definitely at least top three favorite moments or favorite parts about winning a championship is replying to any Kyle Lowry hate with just a picture of him holding the trophy. That's it. Like, that's just perfect for me. And any time Kyle sees any hate on the media, he doesn't have to worry about it. He's an NBA champion. Winning fixes everything. And this is clearly, you know, you cannot deny Kyle Lowry anymore. You know, you can nitpick at his game for all the haters out there, but Kyle Lowry is my point guard for life. He is the best. He, you know, especially the way they closed out the series with Kyle having that incredible game six, you know, just the first few minutes of that game, yeah, I almost started tearing up seeing him just score at will. I think he scored the first 11 points of the game. And it was just so amazing. And I'm so happy now to be able to look any Kyle Lowry hater in the eye and say, Kyle Lowry is an NBA champion. And that's it. That's all I have to say.
I think that clinching game on the road in Oakland with all the stuff, all the like drama and I guess kind of the narrative had moved over, the momentum and the narrative had moved to Golden State's side after, you know, they were playing for Durant and their last game for sure in Oracle. Everything had kind of shifted to Golden State's side, and the media was obviously, I mean, outside of Toronto, was cheering for this comeback or at least forcing a game seven on Father's Day Sunday. Kyle just came out and just took over that game in the first. I think he scored and assisted on like the first 18 points in that game, and we opened up a big lead. We ended up giving that lead up, and it was a little bit more of a touch and go game, but Kyle really put a stamp on it and like just clearly was like rising to the challenge and taking that moment for himself and for his team, and kind of like what Kawhi did when he took over stretches in, was it game five,
I think. Yeah. Well, game four.
Well,
and
game five. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, they came up short in Game 5, but he did it in Game 4 as well, and has done it throughout the series. I thought Kyle did the same thing and kind of matched that level of dominance for even just for a few minutes, just to get us going in that Game 6. But yeah, I couldn't have been happier for Kyle, and I also have been enjoying listening to, I know I've referred to this podcast quite a bit, but Andrew Sharp with Open Floor. Andrew Sharp's this old Grantland guy. He works for Sports Illustrated now. And he said at one point that he just had this feeling that this year, this playoffs, this finals, it was going to be the year that that his hate for Kyle, his hating on Kyle over the years would come back to haunt him. And Kyle was going to have a championship. And all the Raptors fans were going to throw it in his face for the rest of his life. And I'm going
to
be doing that.
Worked perfectly. And especially after that game, just to clinch the championship with a K-Lo game, Kyle Lowry over everything game, was perfect. And And yeah, speaking of the game, that game was fantastic. I mean, I don't know about you. I was obviously stressed about it the whole way, but also I like couldn't help but thinking to myself just the high level of play back and forth. And just to touch on this point that anyone, you know, there's going to be obviously the narrative of, Golden State, you know, suffered two injuries to their top players. Of course, they were going to lose the series. But I think no one should let that taint the championship. No Raptor fan should let that taint the championship for many reasons. But one of which, like, if you actually watch the games and watch the basketball, you would clearly see that the Raptors were on Golden State's level, even with Kevin Durant. Just the high level of basketball that was being played throughout the series was incredible on both sides. And I was just so impressed to see our team, you know, rise up to the occasion on the big stage and just show how amazing our team was on a basketball level. So that was great. Kyle Lowry was amazing. Who else do you want to talk about?
Well, let me just on that. I definitely agree that, you know, injuries happen. They're a part of the game. We talked a lot about how maybe they shouldn't always be part of the game in the last episode, that maybe there are things that we could be doing to help these players. And having said that, I do think that the Raptors would have won anyway. And maybe we were both looked at KD as kind of an X factor. If he came back healthy, he could make the difference and put Golden State out of reach. But we did see that one quarter. I know he was still banged up, obviously, because it wasn't too long after that quarter that he went down. But that was the highest level of basketball I saw in the finals, period. That quarter was incredible, and it was very even, and it did not make me think that there would have been no chance had KD been healthy. Obviously, Toronto was the better team with Klay out there as well, Klay Thompson. I mean, eventually he came down with that really unfortunate injury as well, but he played in game one, he played in game four, he played in game five. It was competitive all the way through.
People forget that the narrative coming out of game four... Yeah, game four when we were up 3-1 was, this Golden State team with Steph and Klay is no match for this Raptors team. Like, that was the narrative coming out of that. And so for people to come along and be like, if Klay hadn't gone down, blah, 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 is obviously ridiculous. So, I mean, I don't think no Raptors fan should pay attention to that at all. I don't think they are. I'm not too worried. Because go ahead.
I think the only thing I think is we should be a little bit cautious. If KD ends up staying with Golden State, you should certainly bear in mind or remember that team at full strength is still probably, you know, the top team to beat. And even though I think Toronto's built to do that, and we had some evidence in that series that at the very least it would have been extremely competitive, even if they were at full strength, that, you know, we still have work to do if that team returns at full strength. But it definitely doesn't take away from the championship, obviously. Golden State has benefited from injuries to LeBron's running mates in Cleveland. They've benefited from injuries to Houston, to the Spurs, famously with Kawhi going down in game one. Nothing takes away this from this championship.
And just to quickly add, like, you know, maybe, you know, this is obviously speculative, and but maybe Golden State wouldn't even have suffered as many injuries as they did if their team roster was constructed a little differently, right? Like, they were pushed throughout the playoffs partly because they weren't that deep. And, you know, KD throughout the season had to really play big minutes. And whereas if you compare to Toronto with their depth, you know, they were able to load manage Kawhi and still keep a very good record with him resting him. So it's just like a matter of team management, right? And like you said, injuries happen in almost every finals.
Yeah.
Like not even this finals, we weren't fully healthy, right? Like, obviously people recognize that Kawhi was not 100%. We were missing OG.
So, I think KD being out is the only kind of injury you can point to and ask questions about how this might have played out otherwise. Klay being out, you know, we had an important player out as well. Leonard was obviously playing on one leg. Kyle and Van Vliet were banged up. Like, I think besides KD, they were evenly injured teams. They were evenly banged up after this tough playoffs. And I think also we talked before about, like, Golden State's just not as far ahead as the rest of the league anymore, like they used to be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously it had to be Toronto, but Milwaukee might have beat them. Philly might have beat them. I think the people putting an asterisk on this or trying to put an asterisk on it are being silly. I mean, they're just not reconciling with the larger story of how this year played out, where a bunch of teams kind of got with the modern offense and defense that Golden State kind of perfected and that Houston has been working on. I mean, the East kind of caught up. At least the top half of the Eastern Conference playoff teams were kind of moving in the direction of where the game has gone, and Toronto was obviously the best version of that, and it's why they're the champions in 2019.
The champions, number one, baby, number one.
Yeah, well, I think we also wanted to talk a little bit about just how great Nick Nurse was in this playoffs, his first playoffs as a head coach. He made a bunch of interesting adjustments along the way. Maybe I know, and we're not the first people to say this, but maybe it was a little bit slower in the Philly series to kind of adjust and get things going for us. But it was just also such a tough matchup. But he was incredible in the Milwaukee series. He was incredible in the finals. And just overall, such a great job. I mean,
yeah,
we talked about
like a champion.
Yeah, we talked about going to the finals. It's not necessarily that he's the best coach in basketball or anything like that, but he's a coach that, as fans, you can trust and believe in, that he's going to make adjustments and think the game a few steps ahead and not just necessarily wait until you're backed into a corner and kind of do something you clearly don't want to do to try to find a way to win. He's going to be proactive and think the yep. game through, think the series through. And yep. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, I think he met the bar for, I mean, being able to coach in the finals, which not all coaches can hit, obviously. And you know, he did great. Obviously, he made mistakes, but all coaches do. And obviously, every coach is, you know, as good as the team that they're fielding, right? So, I mean, he was obviously helped by that. But, I mean, obviously, we're champions now. So, we love Nick Nurse. And I think he did great. He matched Steve Kerr, if not out-coached Steve Kerr. You know, a wildly... praised coach, and we'll always thank Nick also for the memes, because he is clearly proven to be the meme lord of the playoffs.
I mean, yeah,
he was phenomenal.
So I think Steve Kerr is one of the best coaches in basketball. So the fact that Nurse hung in there with him and maybe even bested him definitely speaks volumes to him as a coach, and gives me a lot of hope moving forward. That this team is going to continue to kind of innovate and be on the cutting edge. Him and Masai, man, it's a great leadership in place there. Yeah. And obviously, the personnel is really important, the players that you put together and put out there. And we didn't even talk. I mean, maybe we should just take a couple minutes just to shout out that trade at the deadline to get Marc Gasol, who was huge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a bigger part of the reason we got through that tough series against Philly. Which, by the way, I'm hearing a lot of Philly fans and a lot of like national media types talking about how Philly should maybe just run it back, having been that close to beating Toronto that went on to win the title. I gotta say, I think Toronto's worst series of the playoffs was against Philly. Like, in terms of what they did outside of Kawhi, it felt like Toronto was just kind of having a moment of panic and maybe succumbing a little bit to the pressure. And then just Kawhi kind of single-handedly overcame that. So it's kind of been funny to watch people kind of responding to that series and be like, well, you know, Philly could have won the title. I think that's a bit of a stretch, but God, Marc Gasol was huge against Embiid. He was huge as help defense against Antetokounmpo, and he was huge in these finals with Curry.
Yeah, Mark was incredible. I mean, obviously, this has been spoken of a ton by, you know, his defense throughout the playoffs, and also his passing was huge for us. I mean, it's been repeated on a bunch of different pods about how we became the best 3-point shooting team after he joined us, and that can be, I think, largely attributed to his passing and opening up those open looks. So yeah, this is a Mark appreciation pod as well. He was, I should say, the MVP of the parade that happened yesterday. was his. He was just so incredible. So I was fortunate enough to go to the parade.
Yeah, let's talk about the parade. Tell me about the parade, because I was unfortunately stuck down here in Jacksonville. I think in the last episode I said maybe there's a way I could drive up there or fly up there for the parade. But it came pretty quick. It was Monday morning. We're recording on Tuesday, but it was an incredible parade. And talk to me about what it was like to be there.
Yeah, just being there was incredible, and I think it was partly because, I mean, I don't know if all championship parades are like this. I'm pretty sure they're not, but we had just the energy and the sheer numbers were outrageous, and being part of that crowd, just everyone was amped up, super high energy, and because of how many people there were and how excited everyone was, that delayed the parade because everyone kept getting into the route a little bit. But so that was annoying that we did have to wait a long time. But I mean, even though we were waiting for so long, you know, everyone was kept on cheering and chanting throughout, which was super impressive. I mean, we were all under the sun standing for hours, and people could have gotten pretty tired and exhausted. But I was, I mean, at least the section that I was part of was all super high energy. There were people climbing traffic lights and putting on shows and stuff. And it was awesome.
I saw, I saw a picture of a guy in like a raccoon.
Yeah, costume. I was there. That's where I was. I was watching this guy in a raccoon costume just put on a show for us, climbing different stuff and dancing around. It was awesome. But when the players came around, just seeing them all be all super wasted, first of all, was awesome. But best of all was Marc Gasol. I mean, I if anyone hasn't gone and seen the videos, like this is a must see as a Raptors fan of Marc Gasol at the parade. He was just the greatest character in the world. It was a sight to be seen, and he was awesome and obviously a crucial part to our team this year and our championship run.
I have to say Marc Gasol just strikes me as somebody who badly wanted to win a title, and I think he was so excited with that trade to come to Toronto. I honestly wonder, you remember Charlotte was extremely close to making that deal to get Marc Gasol to try and put them into a playoff position with join him with Kemba. Do you remember that story? I almost wonder, pure speculation on my part, I've never heard this reported, but I almost wonder if Mark maybe had a hand in kind of, because apparently that deal was like all but done and then it just didn't happen and we ended up getting him. You almost wonder if they went to Mark and he was like, nah, send me to Toronto.
Yeah, I think I've actually heard something. I don't remember if it was, maybe it was even a Mark interview where it might have been Memphis, you know, the GM of Memphis, you know, he's a beloved guy in Memphis. Yeah. And they were like, Memphis fans were cheering for the Raps, a lot of them during this playoff run to cheer on Mark.
Yeah.
And I think the GM there, you know, wanted to do Mark a solid and give him an opportunity to win the championship. So might have tilted their hand in terms of like if they had two equal offers, they would give it to the Raps.
Yeah, my sense is that organization is kind of like a family a bit. And I suspect they'll do the same thing with Conley and move Conley to a contender this year coming up. But yeah, it just seemed like Mark was so excited to be in Toronto. And I've been watching some Mafuzi Chef. Been watching some Serge Ibaka, How Hungry Are You episodes just to enjoy this team a little bit more in the aftermath of the title.
How hungry are you?
That's it. And he had the Gasol brothers on, and of course Powell won two titles back to back with the Lakers, right, with Kobe. And it just seemed like Mark badly wanted that for himself and was excited, because that episode obviously was recorded months ago and before the title. And it just seems like even in that interview he is thinking about nothing else but a title, and it's really awesome for him. So clearly at the parade, all that emotion and all that excitement and all that relief and all that kind of confusing feeling of what to do with all this kind of energy that normally is just put towards, well, you got to go back in the summer and work harder and try and come back and win a title. Now he's won a title, and there's just this kind of like, I don't know what to do with your energy. And he did. I think he made the most of that energy.
I'm a bit worried about him this summer. I'm worried he's going to fall on like 100 pounds and just let loose.
Yeah,
he deserves it, though. He deserves it.
They were talking about that on Raptors Over Everything, the William Lou pod, about like, man, he's going to be the guy that comes back and he's just out of shape and he's like averaging 5 points a game for several
months. Care. He's still drunk. Like,
no, I think he'll be fine. I think, you know, he's a professional, but he's going to enjoy the moment, which has been really fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so happy for Mark. He gave me some tears as well. I want to shout out Fred VanVleet, I think. Everyone knows we're Fred VanVleet fans here, you know, sticking with him through the thick and thin. Even when all the Raptors fans were turning on him during that Philly series, we stood by him.
It was very thick there.
He got one Finals MVP vote.
I have a question, actually. Thick or thin, when you stick with someone through thick and thin, which is the good thing and which is the bad thing there? Is it the thin? I said we were with him when it was very thick, but maybe we were with him when it was very thin. Anyway, we'll get to the bottom of that later.
They both sound bad, actually. Maybe
they both sound bad.
Maybe it's thick with two C's, so it's good. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. He certainly killed it in the playoffs for us after that tough Philly series, and we stood by him, and it seemed like he had fun too. Man, he was on the Drake float with Kyle and Kawhi.
And he was the only non-Kawhi Finals MVP vote, and very much deserved, in my opinion. I mean, he won us that Game 6 in the end. Yeah. I mean, it was Kyle at the first half, and then Freddie with those, as Mark said, those big watermelon shots at the end.
How was he walking out there? How was he walking?
I mean, freaking couple of watermelons hanging there. I wouldn't be able to walk. So
he's that kind of player, man. He is. Yeah. He's fearless, and you need that. You need a couple guys who are like that, and we have a bunch of them. I mean, that was what this team was so special about, was that like maybe one guy wasn't feeling it or one guy was too passive, but there was always somebody else who could pick it up, or at least had the potential to pick it up. And
yeah,
we played kind of the probabilities on that, and more times than not we had a guy that was ready to step up and help Kawhi and help Kyle and get this thing over the finish line. But yeah, so Fred, you saw him up close?
Yeah, he was on the float. He was kind of chilling, more subdued when they got to us. I think they had gone through a long route, so
yeah,
he was probably feeling pretty tired. But
there are a lot of jokes on the internet that he just looks like mini Drake or like smaller Drake. I had never thought of that before. I don't find that they necessarily look that much alike. They have obviously the same facial hair, but
there was a pretty great pic of him and Drake pointing at each other, and then someone put that with the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other. That means so great. It's pretty great. Yeah, no, Fred is the best, and it's awesome. He goes from G League champion to NBA champion. He goes from undrafted, I should say, to G League champion to NBA champion. He's a true, as he says, bet on yourself, and it's great to see. I also want to shout out Pascal Siakam. I think, you know, Pascal Siakam, I think, you know, in terms of my heart and you know, who I you know, love the most on our team, I think it's really split between Kyle and Pascal, maybe 1A, 1B there. It was just amazing to see Pascal, you know, be able to rise up to the big stage. You know, his first time here, he's still new to the league, and see him have that, you know, he obviously had the huge game one, was the MVP of game one, got us that win, and then, you know, he's been up and down throughout the series, but to see him come out in game six, you know, after being super cold from three for most of the series, to just no hesitation, let it fly and hit, I think it was like three big threes in the first quarter. And to see him just constantly, you know, not doubt himself, keep pushing, you know, no matter, you know, what happened the previous game, shake that off, come back. He was benched in game five, but they came back and responded to that. You know, and I think it's huge, and I'm most excited to see Pascal grow with our team. I mean, I expect Masai to, you know, extend him next year, and it's really great to see our young core continue to rise. And
yeah,
that's what gives me so much hope. Is you know, big star like Kawhi, you know, he has every opportunity in the world. And so he may not stay forever. Even if he stays next year, maybe, you know, in a couple of years he won't be on the team. But to know that we have this young core to grow around, now NBA champion young core, is awesome. So
yeah,
I wanted to make sure to shout out Pascal.
I think maybe KOC pointed out that like in a couple of years, the Raptors could potentially have, you know, Kawhi plus this young core of Siakam and VanVleet, even with their pay increases, and still have a slot left for like a new max player, because presumably by then maybe Kyle and some of these veterans are not necessarily making the same amount of money, even if they're still around at all. But Pascal, I wanted to just point out, he seems to be making this joke a lot that he was interviewed after the game, I think, and he was talking about Kawhi and how Kawhi has been offered a free house, and Pascal was like, where's my house, you know? and then at the end of the parade at the rally, whenever he gave his speech, he said, you know, he had to get his own spicy pea chant going. Do you think Pascal's maybe like, I not to like bring us down at all, obviously we're hype right now, but do you think he might be feeling a little like overlooked here? I mean, he was so important in game six. He was so important throughout the playoffs. Is Pascal getting enough love?
I don't think he is. I think he deserves more love. I mean, honestly, if you go to any media outside of the Raptors media, everyone is just still extremely skeptical of Pascal beyond just like Zach Lowe. They still think he's, you know, because he doesn't have that consistent jump shot and because he's basically unknown, like he didn't go through the NCAA, you know, college system. people are going to take, like, not be able to come around as quickly as maybe a college prospect. And so I think he deserves more love, but I'm glad he has his chip on his shoulder. Honestly, I hope he stays hungry, and comes back next summer with another huge leap. Honestly, if he makes the same leap as he did from last summer to this summer, he might be the MVP next year. So,
wow. yeah, for real. Yeah. It was a huge leap from the previous year to this year. If he stays on this track, who knows what's possible. I also just want to shout out the whole Raptors team. They all seem to be like contributing in the same, you know, just like we can point to all these various starters and these role players, the rotation guys, I mean, and how they made big contributions and put their stamp on the playoff run. It seems like that whole bench was like part of, very close to each other, stood by each other, had like this whole incredible dynamic in the locker room. And to be honest, I think that's the strongest pitch to Kawhi, is just how great this group of people is that he's playing with right now, how much they support each other and understand each other and look out for each other. So what a great moment to see them all enjoying their parade, all enjoying their moment. And it sounds like they had a good time in Vegas too, with some of them staying an extra night. It's been a lot of fun. It's definitely been nice. These last few days have let me kind of just relive. If somebody tweeted this, maybe it was Assad actually, who you referenced earlier. There's been this joke about like every time it kind of dawns on you that like the Raptors are the champions, that it's a bit like an edible hitting again. Like it's like we keep getting high off the same feeling, the same accomplishment. And it's been nice going through it again, man. I know, it was incredible. It was really incredible. It couldn't have happened to a better group of guys. And I actually believe that. Like, we didn't even talk about Serge, really. I mean,
oh my God, Serge was the best.
All Serge, these guys. Yeah,
Serge with his show, and just he seems like such a, people talk about glue guys. Serge is a glue guy. Serge just bringing everyone together, just kind of making Kawhi, like joking with him a little bit, teasing him. I feel like he was really a big part of making Kawhi comfortable on this team. And he's just hilarious. I mean, his show is incredible. Every interview he gives is just amazing. And he also played huge in that game six. You know, Mark was having a tough time offensively, and Serge came in and gave us huge minutes. So Serge was a key part of this team, and I love him so much. And I know he got a lot of hate, I think, you know, last year and maybe the year before, but I think he's really, you know, proven why he deserves his contract. So we love Serge. We love Serge.
Man, it's a team full of leaders and likable guys, and hopefully we can keep them together here. The biggest question mark, the biggest X factor is Kawhi Leonard, and he's up for, obviously, contract renewal here. He may decide to go to the Clippers. He may decide to stay. I don't know if anybody else is in serious contention to get him, but you got to think a parade of 2 million people. I think there was a tweet out today that the TTC said that there were more people riding public transit on the day of the parade than when the Pope had come to town. I think Dean Detlef, who does a podcast, talked about a Christian podcast, a kind of progressive Christian podcast. He tweeted something like, I guess we have to canonize the Raptors now. This was a huge deal. And you have to imagine that Kawhi, you know, no disrespect or anything, but San Antonio had a championship parade. And like I said, no disrespect, smaller market. I think they had about 50 or 60,000 people out, right?
Yeah, that's cute. You know, it's nice. It's good for them.
I'm sure they had a nice parade. Yeah. But we had 2 million people out. It's crazy. It's mind-boggling.
I think it might have been more, too. I think it was more.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was more. I mean, it was more to the point where it caused problems, right? Where they hadn't really planned for that many people. And next time we do this, we got to do it a little better, a little more efficiently, a little more safely. But it was just this incredible parade, incredible showing of support. Everyone was chanting MVP and Kawhi throughout the parade. There was that great moment, especially when the fans started chanting like one more year, which is such a sweet like Canadian Raptors fan approach. Yeah. It's like we're not even asking for like your whole career. We just want you to come back one more time. And then Kyle got them going, you know, kind of reminded them that we actually have the chance to sign him for 5 more years. Maybe we should do that. As fun as this has been, and as much as we've both been, you know, going out of our way to just enjoy the moment and celebrate this team, and be happy for everyone involved that this accomplishment, it really, really feels like the other shoe that still needs to drop or the other thing that still needs to happen and make this summer really the whole summer celebratory is we need to find out that Kawhi has decided to stay.
Yeah.
So where are you standing? We referred to that Kyle and Kawhi interview with Rachel Nichols with ESPN, and you talked about some of the other moments. What do you think? Tell me your thoughts right now, because you have kind of been on the side of I think Kawhi might stay. You've been kind of on that side of things for months now.
Yep.
Where are you at right now?
So I want to start right off the bat by saying Kawhi deserves to make whatever decision he wants. He can go wherever he wants. He's earned that freedom. I mean, obviously, win or lose, he deserves that freedom. We believe in player empowerment on this podcast. But in terms of our appreciation and fandom for Kawhi, Kawhi is now officially immortalized in Toronto sports history. He is, you know, a hero to us, whether he stays, whether he leaves. During the parade's end of parade ceremony, he was given the key to the city, even though, you know, he hasn't committed to coming back yet. But honestly, he deserves it. He's brought us a championship. So I want to start by saying that right off the bat, that I will not, you know, hate Kawhi if he leaves. And I will be extremely disappointed because, as you and I have discussed, he has grown to becoming maybe my favorite player in the league. But, you know, Bill Simmons likes to call himself the body language doctor, but allow me to put that hat on real quick.
Okay.
All year long, I have been focusing very closely on Kawhi's body language. All year long. We talked about this on a previous pod. I kept stressing about the weather because I was worried that, you know, the weather would leave a bad impression on him because, I mean, it's been reported he likes LA weather, blah, blah, blah. Who knows? So everything that I've seen all year long has only given me encouragement. And the only things that have discouraged me have never come from Kawhi or the team. It's come from people like Woj or media people, ESPN people. And from everything I understand, most of that, if not all of it, is just pure speculation. And them really spinning the story into basically almost willing Kawhi to LA. Obviously, a lot of the media is centered around LA. LA is a big market, and I'm sure from the media's perspective, they would love it if, you know, LA became a big basketball capital. And I also want to mention that it's important to note that the Clippers organization has been basically doing a media campaign all year long. They have spun the media very well. They have, you know, basically all the stories that you hear about, oh, Kawhi wants to go to the Clippers, those stories are not coming from Kawhi's camp. They're coming from the Clippers organization for a large part. You know, the Clippers last year, they hired Lee Jenkins from Sports Illustrated. So they hired a huge, you know, media guy who's known for profiling superstars for Sports Illustrated. They hired him. And they clearly had this whole media strategy laid out for the whole year. So I have been not really focusing on that too much. I know a lot of Raptors fans have, you know, been worried throughout the year. There were parts of the year where maybe Raptors fans were convinced that we were going to lose him. I have held strong because I've kind of ignored a lot of those media stories and focused on what I've seen and heard from all of Kawhi's interviews. Now, after these playoffs, the interviews are just through the roof from Kawhi. And just the amount of emotion that he's showing is just astronomical compared to what we saw in the regular season. And yeah. I mean, it doesn't take a body language doctor to see that he loves it here.
But you are one.
But I am one. But I am saying you don't need my credentials to tell you that this man loves it here. He loved this year. He had the best time. He it raves about the team, his teammates, raves about how much he loves the group of guys that it came with. He said that, someone asked him during the parade, when is it that you thought this could be a championship team? He said, at training camp, I knew. You know, he talked about, obviously, that Rachel Nichols interview, about how great the team has been in terms of, you know, making sure that nothing leaked to the media, no drama occurred, clearly fitting Kawhi's whole MO. He's clearly not much of a drama guy, in case you haven't noticed. And, you know, he's spoken very highly of Nick Nurse. He's spoken very highly of the organization, the whole load management thing, how much the team prioritized his health and trusted him and trusted what he thought about his body. We've talked about that a lot on this podcast as well, comparing how we've dealt with Kawhi's injuries versus how San Antonio did. And just, I mean, you have to compare it. His only previous experience was with San Antonio. Just imagine being Kawhi and comparing, you know, him kind of being the little brother in San Antonio versus how he's been treated in Toronto.
Yeah, that's actually something I want to pick up on, because having watched, just I've been following it just as closely, maybe not quite the body, maybe at a, not quite the body language doctor that you are, but I have been keeping an eye on it, especially through the playoffs and now after having won the championship. And it's clear that, well, it's my opinion that he has this swag and this like bounce in his step. He has this, he's got this pride that maybe I didn't notice as much before with him. And I think it's exactly what you were saying. It's this contrast between his experience with guys like Kyle, with guys like Mofuzi Chef, guys like Marc Gasol, but Fred, Norm, all these guys, they're such a coherent, like cohesive group of guys, like such a close-knit group, and they all look to Kawhi. Kawhi is clearly the leader, right? Like, that was really important, I think, what Kyle said during that interview that we keep referring to, of both them talking. He said, you know, as soon as Kawhi got there, you know, as much as I was maybe hurting about losing DeRozan, like, I let him know, you're the man. Like, you are, this is your team, and we're going to go, we're going to follow you and have your back. And I don't get the impression that he ever got that kind of respect from his teammates with the Spurs.
Never.
Those were Tim Duncan's guys. He was playing with Tim Duncan's guys. He was playing with the vets, Parker and Manu and some of these other young guys. And they were in Pop's world and in Tim Duncan's world, reaching all the way back to David Robinson in the 90s, right? Like, there had this long lineage, and they were kind of looking at Kawhi like, sure, you're very talented.
Yeah.
You know, sure, you may be this franchise's future, but you're one of many on this team. And they even kind of sunned him a little bit. You know, they talked about him like he was, you know, that they basically forgot, or they would omit or leave out from what they would say in public and to him, that I presume that he was their best player by far and away, and he was the reason they still had a chance at a title, and that they were still relevant after Tim Duncan retired. I mean, they omitted all of that. And just talked about, well, you know, you're a Spur and you should be loyal to us and you should do what we say and you should not worry about this injury and you should come back and lead us to a title. And that's not the dynamic that anyone would want, I don't think. Like, and Kawhi is not I don't think Kawhi has this big ego. I don't think he's like an arrogant athlete, but he's smart and he knows what it takes to win a championship. And he had to have looked around that locker room and been like, oh yeah, I'm the guy that makes this team relevant in an age of like Golden State and LeBron, and like, I'm that guy. And he's a leader. He should be the leader of that team. And it just never felt like he got that respect from the Spurs. And then he obviously lacked trust in their ability to handle his injury. And I think just that whole experience, it was like such a drag and he just wanted out. And maybe he didn't have Toronto at the top of his list, but Toronto ended up, I think, being the perfect situation for him.
Yeah, not to turn this into a San Antonio slander pod, but I think like a lot of people in the media, and I'm sure a large part of the NBA fan base, has this general respect for the San Antonio organization as being this whole like this institution that, you know, if a player arrives here, they have to fit into the San Antonio system. It's the team first. And I find that's kind of I don't know, like, this might be a stretch, but it's kind of anti-player empowerment a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, it's our way or get the fuck out of here, you know, like, and Kawhi, I think, you know, butted heads with that a little bit. And, you know, he came in and played great for them and fit in their system. But as soon as it was time for it to be his team, it never felt like they gave him that respect.
Yep.
And I think he felt that. And there were reports about it. There were reports about how, you know, when he would go to All-Star Weekend, all these other superstars would get, you know, the star-studded treatment from their teams, but he was left with like nothing, basically. Like, and so I definitely think it rubbed him the wrong way. Eventually, he woke up and realized, like, shit, I am an amazing like MVP caliber player. You know, I deserve to, you know, be respected at least.
Yeah,
I think he felt like the organization didn't give him that respect.
Well, so, and also just his personality is he needs other people to kind of like express, because he's not going to do it himself, right? Like, he's not the guy who's going to grab the mic and say, I'm the best of all time. He's not going to say that. But at some point, it grates on you. Like, if you are that and your teammates don't come to your aid and kind of make that case for you, it's like you're just hung out to dry a little bit.
And I also like this is like, obviously, I mean, Popovich is a great coach and proven himself. But I think despite the fact that Kawhi generally in interviews speaks highly of Pop, I think there has been evidence to show that he didn't really like the way Pop coached him. And I think it might have been because Pop kind of pigeonholed him. And, you know, whenever you can compare it to whenever Kawhi talks about Nick Nurse and about how he feels that Nick Nurse has really unleashed him. He talks about how Nick, you know, opened him up to different forms of offense and using him in different ways. And I think there might be some resentment there. You know, there was that earlier in the season, Pop kind of let out that he never saw Kawhi as a leader.
Yeah.
Which if you look back on that now, like the whole team, the whole Raptors team doesn't stop talking about how amazing a leader Kawhi is.
He's clearly the leader. He's clearly
the leader. Marc Gasol, you know, a vet of the league, came out during his exit interview and said, Kawhi's a leader.
Yeah.
He led us to this championship. The team really rallied around him. And it just shows, you know, how Kawhi never felt like, you know, he was really given that opportunity in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Maybe there was miscommunication there, but ultimately I think there was a lack of trust and respect between them.
No, I think your point about the media kind of just constantly celebrating San Antonio as like an institution, right? And making this big deal about Pop and the legacy of Robinson and Duncan, and then, you know, all that stuff was just supposed to flow into Kawhi, and it was just sort of all taken for granted. I think someone with Kawhi's personality, where he is more understated, that must have just been so frustrating to get kind of overshadowed by people who weren't even there a part of the team anymore, right? Like, yep. And I'm not saying that he has like some need for the spotlight. He definitely doesn't. He doesn't even have a social media account, really. It's not that he has some need to be in the limelight, but it comes back to that point of like respect and deference. Like when you're the best player on your team and you're one of the smartest players on your team, like there should be no question that everything's going to revolve around you a little bit, because that's how you win, right? Like it's not even about his own adulation. It's about like whatever the best path and the quickest path to the championship is. And Toronto recognized that right away. We made a huge trade to get him because we recognized that potential. And all the players rallied to that. Nick Nurse was just like thrilled and excited to be coaching him. Instead of, you know, the contrast between Nick Nurse feeling like, look, I'm so lucky to be coaching this guy, Kawhi, compared to Pop's like kind of condescending and like dismissing his leadership skills. Like, God, it couldn't be a starker contrast. And all of this is to say, it really is hard to imagine him leaving.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think just to really just briefly mention one of the points of evidence that I mentioned earlier during the parade, someone tweeted this out where Fred VanVleet was kind of live casting and it was him and Jeremy Castleberry and Kawhi. And Jeremy Castleberry is a trainer for the Raptors who is a close friend with Kawhi going way back. In the live cast, they were kind of joking and laughing, and someone said, fuck Pop, in the background. Someone tweeted that out and be like, oh, San Antonio fans aren't going to like this. And I think it was kind of like it was done off camera and very kind of slyly and jokingly, but you saw Kawhi and Jeremy kind of laughing. And I think that kind of shows that there's some evidence that they didn't necessarily like their time there. And you compare that against them just loving life with the Raptors. And
yeah,
all that's to say, I mean, like, just look at Kawhi, everything that you've seen from him now, this is stuff that people could have never even imagined of Kawhi.
Right.
You know, his whole characterization during San Antonio is, oh, he's a robot. He's some kind of, you know, AI bot that's come to take over basketball and all this stuff. And then you see him in Toronto, he's become a revelation.
Yeah.
Everyone loves this guy and his personality. He's funny. You know, everything that this man says is a hilarious thing, a hilarious meme.
He's printing t-shirts. Every week he's got a new quote for a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's incredible, and just to see, and honestly to see him, I think this is a perfect sort of pinnacle of the new Kawhi is the speech that he gave at the championship ceremony, where at the end he makes fun of his laugh from the start of the season, was just perfect.
Well,
it was perfect,
and you know he's doing it because he clearly thinks that he knows his teammates are waiting for it too, right? Like clearly they've ribbed him about it, and he's ribbed them about it, and it's just been this running joke, and he couldn't wait. It was like the whole speech was built up for that moment, and everyone was ready for it. All his teammates, they all lost their minds. And also I think, you know, talked about maybe the San Antonio organization not having the proper calculation, not making the proper calculation and how to deal with Kawhi and how to build him up. Talked about Pop compared to Nick Nurse. And I think Pop is just guilty of just being a little too proud himself. Like he's read his own headlines a little bit too much, you know, and just sort of not appreciating what Kawhi was. But there's this whole other thing that's gone on this year, like you said, where we're getting such a Kawhi moment right now. Like the whole league is excited about Kawhi. I work in Jacksonville in Florida, and everyone at work loves Kawhi and was cheering for Kawhi. And then this whole like New Balance campaign that he's got going right now. You know, the fun guy shirt, the Boardman Gets Paid shirt. Like this merch is just flying off the shelves. It's so exclusive and exciting. Like he's the guy right now in basketball. And it just seems like San Antonio was, like you said, it's kind of anti-player empowerment, maybe not even meaning to be, maybe not consciously, but their whole attitude was like, no one's bigger than the team. But it's like, I mean, Michael Jordan was bigger than the Bulls, right? Like, at some point, you got to give their player that space. Like, LeBron was bigger than Cleveland and Miami. Like, at some point, these like truly transcendent players deserve the spotlight because they've earned it. They've just earned it. They've earned the respect of their peers. And like for an organization to kind of be built around opposing that or subverting that, it's just the opposite of the way to go, I think, in this era. And I think Toronto and this funny partnership with New Balance, it's, I think, just been incredible. Like I think Complex did an article about how much it's paid off, this gamble of New Balance to take on Kawhi. But yeah, it's like the message from Toronto is not that Kawhi's weird or quiet or like a robot. It's that he fucking rules, and he's the man, and we should all just enjoy him, and hopefully he'll stay. And obviously the fans have been, I think, doing a really good job of showing just how great it is to play in Toronto.
Hell yeah. I mean, yeah, it's incredible. Like you saw the aerial shots from the parade and just the sea of fans in red, and just like seeing Kawhi, you know, go through the parade and see that. I mean, like, it's incredible. It's incredible. It's nothing he's ever seen. Nothing he's ever seen. And I think, you know, from, you know, a media perspective, from his brand's perspective, this has been perfect. You talked about the New Balance campaign, how amazing that's been doing. You know, from a basketball perspective, you know, obviously we just won the championship. We have the opportunity to run it all back. You know, next year, you know, devastatingly, of course, you know, Kevin Durant's not going to be in the picture. And so what is going to be the biggest threat to us, right? Like potentially Philly running it back. Like we've shown that we can beat them even on our worst, when one of our worst series, we were able to beat them. And so I think from a basketball perspective, I think it's definitely the best option for him. You know, the only reason I could see, and I would still respect this, is it's like everyone said, you know, if he has his extended family in Southern California, if he really cares about, you know, being close to them, maybe feels like, you know, he reached the accomplishment that he wanted to get to. And maybe he is a more, you know, laid back kind of guy. You know, he got to this goal and now he's ready to kind of, you know, enjoy the rest of his career in LA and maybe like over the years do his best to compete there. I would understand it, but I mean, nothing he's said has suggested that. That has all been kind of media narrative.
Yep.
Maybe they've heard that from his camp. Maybe they haven't. But I can only run off what I know from him. And everything that we've heard from him has been extremely positive about Toronto. And so I'm encouraged.
Me too. So. I think from a basketball perspective, I mean, the biggest threat to him in the East is probably Giannis as an individual. And we saw what Kawhi did with Giannis in this playoffs. So I think from a basketball perspective, it makes the most sense. And then obviously, we've talked about it. Fred VanVleet really summed it up well. You know, everyone made the best pitch possible. The teammates, the organization, the fans, the country. Everyone did what they needed to do to convince him to stay. And now literally the only reason he would leave is for a family reason or a consideration over and above basketball, which is obviously totally understandable and respectable. And we don't have to be hostile about it because he won us a championship. So it's all good, but this has been amazing. And the celebration has an opportunity to continue, and we get to enjoy next season as a defending champ if he stays. Because if he leaves, everyone's just going to say, well, Toronto. I mean, right now, I think in the Vegas books have the Lakers as the favorite for next year, which is very funny to me. Yeah. But when they only have two guys signed, pretty much, I guess three if you throw Kuzma in there. But then the Clippers and the Raptors have equal odds. And that's clearly a reflection of a bet for Kawhi. You know, wherever he goes, that team is going to be a contender. So, yeah, I no hard feelings if he leaves. But damn, if you really want to enjoy this summer, this off season, and get to enjoy the next season to the fullest extent, we need him to stay. And hopefully he will.
Yep, he stay. All right, well, we're around the hour mark here, so I think you know, a lot has happened over the past few days. Not just, you know, obviously the Toronto Raptors being the fucking NBA champions, but there was a lot of other stuff in the news that we really want to get to. I think this pod, we wanted to keep it at just Raptors championship talk because that deserves its own pod. But I think we just want to quickly preview the topics we're going to touch on the next pod to make sure that, you know, people don't forget about these things. And so, David, what do we have for next week?
Yeah, well, like you said, Andrew, there's been a ton that's already gone down just since the Raptors have won. There's a lot of basketball stuff to talk about. We have the NBA draft coming up on Thursday. There was this blockbuster trade of AD going to LA to join LeBron. There's the free agency story. There was a really great article by Kevin Arnovitz in ESPN about the draft, and maybe a kind of a pro-labor take on why we should abandon the draft. There's a lot to get to, a lot of stuff that we actually wanted to maybe get to in this episode. We'll do that next week. We also want to go back and revisit kind of an unfortunate and actually really offensive episode that kind of marred the celebration a little bit when news broke that Masai Ujiri had been racially profiled while trying to just join the celebration of the team that he had, you know, been the main force behind and main architect. They call him the architect in building, and he's the guy behind the Kawhi trade. He's the guy behind the Gasol trade. And he was just trying to get with his teammates and enjoy the celebration, and a cop basically harassed him and kept him away, even though he had his credentials. You know, obviously some of the facts are blurry or whatever, but it seems like a pretty clear cut case of racially profiling Masai Ujiri. And I think, given what some of the prominent basketball players have said about police brutality and systemic racism, and given what we have seen happen in Toronto and also throughout Canada with, you know, the police's involvement with discrimination and oppression of Indigenous people and homeless people, and there's a much larger conversation, and I think we want to reserve some time in our next episode, or if not the next episode, very soon, to kind of dig in a little bit deeper and draw out some of the connections between what happened to Masai, what happened to some, what does continue to happen to many of the black athletes in the NBA and in other sports, and really just kind of draw on some of those threads and make some connections about why the affinity that people feel for athletes and the support that they kind of naturally have. Another great moment that we had to skip over was the Toronto fans eagerly and aggressively booing the Premier Ford. I think that booing came from a place of, like, you know, just recognition that Ford is, like, not an ally. He's not a guy that supports these movements for justice that many of our favorite athletes do support. And people just kind of intuitively knew that and have an affinity for the athletes. We ultimately think that this incident with Masai points to the need to have a much deeper and a much more consistent affinity for the political causes of these professional athletes and others outside of that world, people who don't necessarily have the same kind of money or fame. And so I think we just want to pull at some of those threads and revisit this really, really disastrous moment. Really, really bad look for Oakland.
Yep.
Yeah. Just in general too, like now that some of the basketball has finished and we're in the off season, as eventful as that will be, and as much as there will be to talk about basketball, I think we're also looking forward to using some of the space in the off season to have some more of those kind of conversations around sports and around politics and maybe some film too. I still really want to talk about High Flying Bird and do kind of a breakdown of that. So some of that stuff is ahead. And, other than that, though, we will be the champions all summer long, and I'm really looking forward to this draft.
Just quickly, like I want to just the reason why we care about these topics so much is this actually we care about these topics so much, and that's part of the reason why we want to start our own sports podcast. We found that a lot of the commentators around sports do a really amazing job, but often miss sort of the more political side of sports. And so we find those things are often intertwined, and we felt that it deserved its own space on its own pod. So we're hoping that this off season will give us the time to talk about that and give it its due. As obviously we're Raptors fans, so a lot of the topics will be around the Raptors, but we want to talk about those in depth as well. So next episode, hopefully we'll have lots of discussion on that.
Cool. Sounds good, Andrew.
And till the next champion arises, which likely will be the Raptors again, but champs. We're the fucking champs. Toronto Raptors are NBA champions. You love to see it.
Better, man.
All right. See ya.